Radio. The transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public.
Fanboy.
A male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
So today's guest has a very impressive resume. He's done nights in Perth with a lady by the name of the Vixen. Yes, bad boy, such and such. I won't fill in the rest, I'll keep going. He's also been a breakfast show in Brisbane on B105 after the B105 morning crew left. And these days finds himself in Melbourne. He's been the imaging voice for the Today Network. He's been the imaging voice for the Triple M Network. His name is Ben Wasley, and he joins me via this technological thing called Squadcast. Hello, Ben. How are you, mate?
I fixed it. I made it work. I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. Now, this is very modern. We are broadcasting from our bedrooms doing a podcast using this thing called Squadcast for the very first time. So we're kind of teching for each other, trying to work out how it all works. Let's talk about you, Benny boy. I mean, you've been in the industry for a very long time now, probably more recently well-known as the imaging voice for the Hit Network. What are you doing these days in terms of looking after yourself in times of COVID crisis?
Madly applying for super payments. Also, I've got 2 years worth of tax returns I need to do, so that should help. Yep. Yeah, at the moment I'm unemployed. The only person paying me is M. Russiano to write the descriptions on her Emsolation podcast twice a week. Bless her heart.
Let's go back to the very beginning. Young Benjamin starting in, I believe, Karratha was your first radio gig.
Oh, nice segue. And it's a great point to plug my podcast, 1989, inside the diary of a wannabe radio announcer, which covers my first year in radio because my godmother gave me a diary to keep me busy because she knew I was such a loser, probably. And I did the whole year of entries. And I'm working through it at the moment and it's horrifying.
1989, like, wow. Do you remember the process of actually applying for radio jobs? Was it straight out of high school or did you have a bit of a break between high school and radio?
Well, I got interested in radio when I was a teenager because my mum used to work at a super center, like a fitness place in Adelaide, and all the SAFM DJs used to work out there because it was the coolest place in Adelaide to work out. And so they befriended a few of them, like a guy called Gary Bowgen, who used to come to our parties and he used to talk about radio. And I used to think, oh, that's so cool. But at that stage, I was really mad keen on acting. And then I did a few auditions and thought, this really sucks because they say, you can't see your face. And I heard from him that when you apply for a radio job, you get a letter and it just says, you suck, which is a whole lot easier to deal with because you can rip the letter up, burn it, do whatever you like. So I just started to angle for radio and did a 15-week course with the Vaughan Harvey Radio School in 88. Wow. Yeah, he was like an amazing newsreader who did a radio school in Adelaide. It cost, I think it was about $500, 15 weeks. And at the end of it, everybody on the course jumped in a bus and we went to 5AU in Port Augusta and everyone got an hour on air with a script and a radio announcer sitting in front of you, helping you through it. And then by the end of it, you had an audition tape, which I then used to apply for a job in Karratha.
So Karratha, I believe there's a few people that have started their radio careers at that radio station. Jonesy was one of them.
Yeah, we lived together. That was hilarious. Him and his wife, or at that time girlfriend Helen, that was so much fun. I think they moved up there in 91 or 90 maybe. I think it was 90.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can't remember who else has been there. But apparently lots of people went through Karratha.
There was
high turnover, but I managed to waste 3.5 years of my life there. I was stupid enough to say, I'm going to leave this place and go straight to FM radio. And, of course, that was never going to happen. So after 3.5 years of hard work and sending air checks to a program director at K-Rock on the Gold Coast, I got a job up there. Thank Christ.
We were just talking about this the other week, your little thing that you put on Facebook, going through the VHS tapes and you found a 9 news tape of Bad Boy Ben and the Vixen.
Yeah, we got poached. It was Wicked.
So talk about those times in Perth, because it looks like you were trailblazers at the time and you're just having an absolute ball.
Yeah, we were basically told if we're not getting complaints every day from parents, then you're not doing your job properly. And we were just told to have at it. The only things we couldn't say were the F word and the C word. And I actually got sent a guy that came on the show, sent me some audio clips last night, and some of the stuff I listened to, I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I did that. I actually burped right into the microphone during a rave and was just so casual about it. I'm like, oh my God, dude, you don't burp on radio. But apparently, it had to be bad. So, and I'm not a bad person. So I had to sort of.
I was going
to
say, how did you get the nickname Bad Boy? Because you're far from bad when I talk to you.
From memory, I think it's Jeff Ellis's, it was his idea. And it was soon after there was an Australian movie called Bad Boy Bubby, which was really big at that stage. And I think he sort of thought, Bad Boy Ben would be great. What do you want to do with the co-host? And I was like, what about the Vixen of the Vibes? And then it sort of stuck. Yeah, we were lucky.
Let's talk about some of the funny benchmarks that you had on that show. I mean, wow. Something about the Wheel of Orgasms or the Orgasm Wheel, or something like that.
And the Vixen's 12 Inches of Pleasure, which is where we'd play. And some of the audio that I got last night, apparently we got someone on for the Wheel of Orgasms and they would moan themselves. It's like, oh my God, it's so incorrect. I don't know how we got away with it.
Mainly girls ringing up for that, or the blokes are ringing up as well?
I don't know. We used to have a good spread of guys and girls ringing. I think it was because it was so naughty. We were so out of control. And I loved that theater of the mind stuff that you can do with radio, where you can create separate rooms and environments. So we'd basically pretend we were in a huge house and move throughout different rooms, get in the spa, go into the dungeon. And yeah, it was so much fun.
Tony Lawson, was he your producer or your imaging producer for the show?
Apparently, but there's a few. And I'm so bad. The 90s for me were a lot of drugs. So my memory is really foggy. People say, yeah, we worked together. I'm like, really? Did we? Oh my God, was I there? So yeah, he definitely was working with us, because he tells me stuff and I go, I remember that. I do remember this. I go on 2 weeks holiday and come back and say, now, what was the receptionist's name again?
The video, the news article was talking about, you got poached from one station to the other. What was the transition like at the time?
It was really hectic, because at that stage, I think Austereo owned us. They changed it from 96FM to Triple M, 96.1. And then they decided to buy, they wanted a duopoly, two stations in every market. So they managed to buy PMFM 92.9 and 94.5, but that meant they had to sell 96. And that deal was meant to happen at 5 o'clock one Friday afternoon, and I'd had word that one of my friends was going to come in and they were going to sack Claire and make me work with her. She was so excited she couldn't keep it secret and told me. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And I also wanted to stay with Austereo because they were like the big network then. And so we rang, I can't remember who we spoke to, maybe Simon Mountain or Scott Muller, one of those two. It starts with an S and an S&M. And said, hey, we're like number one. We don't want to stay here. Can we come over? And they did the deal in a few hours. It was amazing. I've never been involved in anything like that. But yeah, by 5 o'clock, we were out of there. And the new owners walked in just after five and went, hang on a minute. What? Where are they gone? And was spewing.
The deals were done under the table. So you ended up in Melbourne radio, and you've been there for quite some time now. How did you manage to get there?
In 2000, I'd been done 7 years of nights, and I'd had enough of it. And I think they could tell that as well. And so they sort of approached me and said, look, we feel like you're not happy anymore. We've got this option where we've got a guy in Melbourne who would love to come over called Ben Dylan Smith. And we want to know, would you swap with him? So you do 10 to 1 and he does your thing. And I was like, yeah, I'll go to Melbourne because I would love that. And did that, just did swapsies. And it sort of started from there. And then from there, I got to work with like on Rove Live Radio with Rove and Corinne and Pete. And then Hamish was working on The Breakfast Show with Matt Tilley and Tracy Bartram. He was like writing her gossip and doing street stuff for them. And then they got together, like he knew Andy at that stage, and they were given a show called The Almost Tuesday Show, which was on from 10:30 till midnight on a Monday night, and because that was my shift, I just panelled it. So that's how I sort of met Hamish and Andy. I went along and saw a stand-up show they did, and they were absolutely amazing. And then it just sort of progressed from there. And then I did like the Friday Shout with Judith Lucy and Peter Rosethorn. I went to Brisbane in 2006, and that only lasted a year with Gabby, Mike, and Stav, with Gabby Newgate. And then they brought in Camilla from Big Brother, and it sort of all imploded. There was bad stuff happening in there. It was a full-on year. But then there was the option to come back, and I think Tim Lee was working on Hamish and Andy at that stage, and he wanted to do Hot 30 Nights. And I said, well, I want to come back to Melbourne. And so it was a good switch. He went off. I came back, started working with Hamish and Andy as Giggling Ben, and then trained up Cackling Jack.
Ah, that's how the connection happened. Yeah, so the voiceover thing, how did that sort of progress from, you know, being an on-air jock to being the voice of the network?
I'd been doing that since soon after I got to Melbourne. I started doing that because they're always looking for voices, and was doing it free. And I think the first time I got a voiceover contract from them was in 2006 when I was in Brisbane. They started using me around the network. And then it just kept getting renewed every year. And I just kept doing it until 2018 when I finished.
And you also did an Australian music show with Ella Hooper as well. I remember hearing you on that. What was
Celia
that called?
Ramsdale before that. I have to mention her because we did do a while together. But, yeah, it was the Oz Top 20, I think.
That's the one, yes.
Yeah. And Ella, we met each other when I was Bad Boy in Perth. I've still got audio of her. She sounds like she's 13, and I think she was 14 or 15. And we'd bump into each other for interviews all the time. And then, when I got offered that they wanted to bring Ella in, they said, would you work with her? And I was like, work with her? I love her. And we just sort of hit it off. So, yeah, it was easy. That was so much fun.
So you parted ways with the Fox and Triple M in Melbourne, but they asked you to come back not long after that. Is that true?
Yeah, they got in touch with me and said someone in creative writing at the studio was going on maternity leave, and did I want to come back and do 6 months of creative writing for commercials? And I was like, nah, I don't need 6 months of work, because I was loving being, you know, footloose, fancy free, and having a stack of redundancy cash. But then I think 3 months into that, maybe the guy that was already working there got a job, and so the guy that had already accepted the maternity leave, or I know it's paternity because it's a guy that went on holidays, they sort of said, we need someone else, will you do 6 to 8 weeks? And I was like, 6 to 8 weeks is easy. I've never written commercials except for in Karratha, and I wouldn't say that they were good quality commercials. It's like, I'd always been an image writer for Fox and for the Today Network, so I found that really easy. I love that sort of creative side. Working with Matt Nikolic was like the best, because he would just create the most amazing promos with the words I threw at him. And so, writing commercials was like, I'll give it a suck it and see, and it was so much fun. And the 6 to 8 weeks turned into 10 months.
Wow.
Yeah, and that wrapped up just as we went into lockdown in March. So I sort of finished on Friday, and I think then Australia was like, and we're not working anymore.
Ben Wasley, thank you so much for joining us on the Radio Fanboy Podcast. Holy moly, what a career. I was going to say, you'd be running out of paper to put all those radio gigs in a resume.
Ugh, I can't even remember half of them.
All right, Ben, thanks for joining us on the Radio Fanboy Podcast.
Thanks so much.
The Radio Fanboy Podcast was hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions.